This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
Do you need a ride? 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 Do you need a ride?
With Karen and Chris.
Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? I'm Karen Kilgariff. I'm not Chris Fairbanks. Here's an interesting twist to this week's episode. Chris is not in the studio yet. He lives on the west side. He drives in very, very busy traffic. I was going to say thick traffic, but that seems dirty. And so oftentimes he'll leave himself a good 50 minutes to get to the east side of town. Well, anybody that has lived here for longer than 6 months knows that you need to book yourself at least a two-hour block of driving time if you want to get from Santa Monica to the east side of Los Angeles. So he sent a message saying, Karen, start the podcast without me. It'll be fascinating. It'll be a fascinating twist. So I am the solo host right now. Hi. And we have a guest this week. She refuses to come on the air early. So I'm going to tell you several stories from my childhood. No. Our guest this week is April Richardson.
That's right. Old Faithful.
She's our guest. She's our friend. She's Chris's co-host on your television show.
Yes.
You guys don't talk about this show enough.
Why would we?
True TV's
almost genius.
Practical jokers. That's called.
And almost then
you're brothers and you pull tricks on people.
Sadly, we don't do pranks, which we should do. Nothing is more lucrative than pranks.
Pranks is where it's at. I think,
I hate pranks.
I'm not interested in pranks in any way.
Which, as a kid, I did do some pranks, like toilet papering people's houses or whatever, but the thing of, like, when people would do pranks on me at school, I would just be like, fuck off.
Yeah.
I don't know, I'm trying to think. I didn't go to high school in the 40s. I almost said, like, Whoopi Cushion, and I'm like, I didn't go to high school in the 1940s. But anything, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Or if you tried to sit down and somebody tried to move your chair, and I just, that's not funny.
No, that happened to me in fifth grade, and it hurt really bad.
Yeah.
When I hit the ground, it hurt really bad, and then everyone in my class was like, ooh, and then everyone felt really bad. So it was this moment of, like, here's what I think it is. I think it's a young boyish energy of, like, we're going to get him.
Yeah.
We're going to get that person, right?
Right.
But it's the short-sighted idea that this is, no matter what we think of, it's going to end in laughs. Where it's, like, oftentimes when it goes into, like, physically harming a person or deeply shaming them in front of everyone that they want to like them.
Right.
And especially in, like, when you're younger, when that all seems like it's in the balance. And then it just becomes this life or death, like, horror show.
Who did it to you? What was their reaction?
It was the boy who had a crush on me, who I didn't like. And so he was, it was a little bit of like, now I'm going to be your tormentor.
Right.
Which it was a foolish, let's just say it was a foolish move on Simon Casey's part.
Well, I got to say this. I had the foresight, even as a child, to punch up. Because I pranked the shit out of teachers.
Sure, yes. That's the way to do it. Yes.
But I never pranked other kids, really. Ah, that's a lie. I mean, like, again, I rolled people's houses a few times. But that's not...
That's the dumbest prank of all time. That's just, like, years later. But I feel like that's not
even a prank because you don't have, like, the instant... When I think prank, it's like where you're standing watching, where you do the thing and then you're like, can't wait for your crazy response.
You're right.
That's the prank.
Right. Like, I think, I'm trying to think, there was one prank that happened to me in college that that was really funny to me because I took it as this huge compliment that they had pre-thought this whole stupid thing out.
Right.
But now I can't think of what it was. All I knew is that the second it happened, I was like, oh my God, they're paying so much attention to me.
That it had like a lot of planning?
Yes. It was a whole involved thing of like, we all told this one lie, and then we got you to do a thing, but it wasn't anything shaming or anything I cared about.
Right.
Like, whatever it was, like, falling. But also, my thing is, what people don't understand is, as sass-mouthed as I can be and bitchy as I can be, I will fall for almost... If you go...
I fall for everything.
I'll fall for anything. If you're the bank is open tomorrow, so we're all going to meet there, whatever, be like, all right. Like, you have my complete trust
totally
until you don't
too.
Have it.
Exactly me
then,
too.
Then once you don't have it, you'll never get it back.
Right.
So you can prank it away. That's fine.
Right.
But then now you never have it. So the next time you go, oh, we're going to go to a thing, I'll be like, oh, I bet you won't be there. I'm never going to that thing again.
You're making me feel better because there have been times where I said that to people, like people have done a thing to me that is such an obvious lie, apparently. And I'm like, yeah, okay, totally. And then the other people around me be like, I can't believe you fell for that. You're so, and I'm like, I'm sorry. My default is not everyone is lying to me constantly. Like that's supposed to be my attitude in the world.
And also if you're going to spend, like, if that's what it is, where it's like, no, oh, this band or whatever, where you're like, it's just information that I don't give a shit about one way or another. You're not telling me I won the lottery
right.
or something. Oh, you know what it was? The thing that the college thing, I was moving out of my sister. I, of course, didn't turn my paperwork in time in college to get into the dorm. So
right.
I had to live in my sister's apartment for 3 months, which, of course, she fucking hated.
Right.
And my cousin Nancy, who hated me. And her friend Deanne, who was very nice, but I'm sure hated me. I had to live on their, like, pull-out couch in the front room
right.
of their college apartment. Not a dream come true. So when they were finally moving me into the dorms, we were moving my stuff down in boxes into my sister's car. And one of the times I brought down a box, I opened the passenger door of my sister's 68 Mustang, put the box down, looked down, and there was a rattlesnake in the front floor, like passenger side floor.
Like a real one?
Foot air. No,
oh,
it was a fucking
okay.
freeze-dried,
right.
coiled-up rattlesnake.
Right.
But I didn't... All I saw was a rattlesnake, and I just moved backwards as quickly as I possibly could and slammed the door really fast. So, and they were laughing. It was these three guys that were in, I think, the Marines that lived in the apartment below my sister's, who they were all friends. So they were nice people.
Right.
But they were laughing so hard because they were like, we've never seen anyone move that fast. Like, and so it not only wasn't embarrassing, I felt very proud of my reflexes, of my ability to recognize danger and not fuck around, like get away from a rattlesnake as quickly as possible.
Right.
Like the whole thing made me go like, oh,
well,
really
if they're Marines, maybe they were just putting you through like survival training. It wasn't even a prank.
And the thing is, I passed.
Yeah.
So good news all around.
You could do well by yourself in the woods or whatever. Maybe that's all that was.
That's right. But like, that's to me, that's why my I think in like top three favorite viral videos will always be the guy that punches the clown that pops out of the garbage can. It's a high school video.
Oh, I don't think I've seen that one.
It's the best, but I'm going to now ruin it for you by describing it verbally to you. But it's a kid in high school, like a reporter being like, talking to another kid at the high school. And it looks like he's talking to like a athlete, like a football player or something. He's this big black kid, right? And it's this little white kid going like, are you scared for Halloween? Are you going to go trick-or-treating? Asking questions. And then behind them, they have like a recycling size garbage can.
Sure.
You know, one of those big plastic ones.
Yeah.
And as they're standing there, a kid in like a an It clown mask.
Oh, right.
You know,
right.
A scary, scary clown mask pops out, like jumps up and goes rah like that. And the kid, like from an interview position, turns and just clocks the clown
yes!
in the face.
That's fantastic.
And then it goes just, it drops back into the garbage can. And it's the best, because it's like, well, this is your prank. Like,
right.
If you engage in a prank, this is what could happen. You could
yes.
get clocked directly into the face.
Yeah, they might call your bluff.
Yeah.
All right, having said all this, though, I do have to say I stay prank calling people. I was repping prank calls hard. I would do it on the phone all day.
Currently
so
now?
Not currently now, but like... So that is separate from physical pranks. I was doing
yes.
that all through school.
Is prank calling people? Yes. What would you say?
It depends. Honestly, a lot of them ended up being like, I just like talking so much that I would just be, it would end up with me just talking to strangers.
Oh, okay.
Where I feel like a few, there was one time me and my friend Kevin stayed up, we were pranking people and I can't remember what we were saying. I mean, it was nonsense. It wasn't like, is your refrigerator running? But we would just try to, it would just turn into conversations because we would say something we thought was like nonsense. It did often backfire, but in a good way, because the people would just answer, and we'd be like, wait, what?
Like, oh, like you were taking a poll or something?
Yeah, but they would be like ridiculous, goofy questions, where we're like, this is so clearly a joke or a prank, and more often than not, we'd get serious answers back, and then we would just be like, oh, what? Okay. Like, and then like, start talking. There were several nights where we would just end up, yeah, just like, all right, have a good night, Frank. Like, just turn into like a
love
long
you, buddy.
Conversation.
Love you. That's sad.
There was one time, this is kind of a left turn. Me and my friend Jeremy, this is going to be so hard to explain for somebody who didn't grow up in the South, especially, but my friend Jeremy, who was my high school boyfriend's brother, but I knew him forever. I had known him since like sixth grade before I even thought of dating his brother ever. We were hanging out one night and he used to drive this pickup truck and he had a CB radio in it. I grew up in Georgia, everybody. We would get on it all the time and like talk to truckers. It was hilarious
yes.
to us.
Yes.
Because we're like teenagers and truckers say the foulest shit to each other on CB radios.
Yeah.
And really do at the time, you know, this is like late 90s, like CB each other and be like, I just drove by a lady with huge tits. She's wearing whatever, whatever and driving a whatever. Like to tell other truckers like go sure. drive by hot ladies or whatever. So one night we're listening to all these truckers talk to each other and Jeremy had like a fake trucker name and he would get on and talk like he's a trucker. And this guy was like, there's a party at whatever. And we went to the party.
Oh, no.
Fully. He was like, what's the address? And it wasn't that far from us. And so we went to this party and it was like all these truckers, like it ended up being fine, but we're like two kids driving up in his thing. And it's like all these grown truckers.
What? Wait.
And we just,
this
like,
sounds like something from True Detective.
It was at a house. I mean, it was like everybody was out on the lawn. When we drove up, like a ton of people were out on the lawn. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't like we were like, and then we walked through a dark alley to get
right,
to the
right,
party.
Right.
Like, it was pretty public.
But it was old truckers?
Not old, but I mean adults.
Right.
Like, we were like 16, 17.
And they were probably in their
20s or 30s.
Oh,
no,
okay.
They weren't like my parents' age or anything.
Okay.
But, you know, I guess maybe 30s. I don't know. You know how when you're 17, anybody older than you is just old?
Yes.
But yeah, we just pulled up and we're like, what's up, guys? And like hung out at this party for a while. It was crazy. And just because we had talked to them on a CB radio. Yeah.
That's very dangerous. Never do that again.
Okay.
Please.
I won't do it again.
There's so many cross-country truckers who've gotten away with murder because they're never in the same place twice.
Right. Well, sure. But this was like at a residential house on a pretty average street.
Yeah, that's how they hide.
And everybody was out in the, like tons of people were out in the yard.
Oh, sure. They'll stand
in
the yard.
We didn't go in the house. All we just like stood out in the yard like,
that's the reason you're here today.
But then Jeremy had to be like, you know, whatever his truck, he had some big tough trucker name and had to walk up and be like, yeah, I'm fucking Chuck Steak or whatever. And they're like, okay, dude, you're 17. Like, yeah.
That must have actually been really entertaining to them.
Yeah, I mean, and a lot of them too didn't look like, you know, they weren't like out of convoy or whatever. I mean,
they were just kind of regular.
Yeah.
Like when Roseanne became a trucker on Roseanne. Or was it Lori Metcalf?
I think it was, yeah.
It was her sister.
Yeah.
Jackie. My next door neighbor, Andy Withington, every day we would come home from school and oh, look who it is. Look who it is. You made it. No, we're in. We're in. We're warm.
Now I feel like I should be quiet.
Catch me up.
Take the reins.
Okay. Hi,
thanks for waiting this whole time. Welcome to Do You Need a Ride?
There it is. We're talking about pranks and crank calling and all the stuff that we did as children. And I was just saying my next door neighbor, Andy Withington, when he was a big prankster himself. So like we lived way out in the country. He used to do a thing where one time, so our classic trick was we would take our mom's old purses that they didn't want anymore. And we'd go out into the field, fill them with cow shit and stick them in the middle of the road. Then we'd climb a tree and wait and watch as cars came and pick them up. And either looked in them right there and then threw them back out and swore and got mad, or would drive like 50 feet and then open a purse full of cow shit and get all angry and throw it out of the car.
This is amazing. This is straight up
Looney Tunes.
Yes.
Like Wile E. Coyote would have done this to the Roadrunner.
This is the mind of Andy Withington, who is my legendary next door neighbor, who was the funniest person of all time. So then when our moms ran out of purses, because we literally did it that many times, and we would be hiding up literally like 25 feet up in a pine tree so that we could see. And there's one guy that got so mad, he came back and was driving back and forth trying to find us, or trying to find, like, he knew that somebody was watching. So he came back to where the purse started. But
he stole a purse.
No, it was in the road.
It was in the road. He was trying to help someone that maybe lost their purse.
He was being a good citizen that was going to steal someone's wallet. But then exactly. we started wrapping up cow shit in gift boxes. So we would, because there were no more purses, so we were taking old, like, you know, shirt boxes from Mervyn's, filling them up with cow shit, then wrapping them in birthday. And then we would just stick it in the road.
I love that you guys stayed lousy with cow shit, though.
Yes.
Running out of purses.
Because
unlimited cow shit.
That's all we had out there. Yes. We had cow shit, and we had, like, one car an hour.
Right.
So this was so worth it, because you think of it, you're driving down a country road, right? There's a house every mile or half mile. Like, there's nothing out there. It's all farms.
Right.
And then you drive up, and there's a birthday present in the middle of the road. I'll get it. I'll see what it is. I might as well pick it up. It's a bunch of fucking shit, you bastard.
Could you always hear their reaction? Were you close enough to hear them go, "It's shit again. God damn it.
God damn it."
This is why I hate birthdays.
I love pranks.
I changed my mind completely.
Well, this now that I'm remembering it, like these were, I started on really quality ones, and then like as I got older, they just got dumber.
Yeah.
Andy also, sorry, but one time he took a jump rope, two orange cones that he had in his room, and a hard hat. And he stopped traffic on our street with a jump rope, putting a jump rope in two orange cones. And he literally stood. I was in the tree watching him. And no cars drove down our street ever. So it took, like, he was just holding his hand up like this with a hard hat on, looking up the street. And he ended up getting, like, four cars waiting. And finally one guy was like, "Hey, how much longer do we have to wait here?" And he had just purely done it to do it, just to
Can
stop.
Can I marry this guy?
He was truly one of the most fun people
like
ever. Yeah, he was the best.
He's gone away?
Well, no, we moved out of that house when I was a senior in high school, so we saw him less and less. And then, like, my sister keeps in contact with him.
I thought you were saying April couldn't marry him because he's dead.
Oh, no.
Oh, sorry.
I mean, I think he's married.
Probably. Yeah. Who wouldn't? Lock that down.
No, he seriously was the greatest bullshitter of all time. He really was. He as a like sixth grade boy, stopped traffic with his hand and his energy. Just like I'm some sort of road maintenance person that you have to listen to. It's a jump rope.
I'll tell you the meanest thing that I know of that my friends Grace and Clark in high school, they were younger. They were a grade younger than me. And I could drive before them. So I was always the getaway driver when we had to like roll people's houses. I was like always their getaway driver. No questions asked. They would just be like, "We want to do this thing to this person. Will you drive us?" And I'm like, "Sure." Like it could have been coke deals. Like I was like, "Yeah, I'll drive you because I want to drive. I'm 16.
That's how you get involved with a bank robbery in like a movie in the 80s.
Yeah. It is. I mean, I was
just
always
that willingness
just like,
to drive.
Yeah, you guys are my friends, whatever. I mean, I have had to outrun cops with them for sure.
Do you mind wearing this mask of one of our presidents?
It's the attractive one.
I really have. Kennedy. We rolled this house. Kennedy. I've told this on other podcast or anything, but this one girl that was in their class that I didn't even know, they like hated her so much that we rolled, I'm trying to condense it, but we rolled her house like so many times in a row that her dad hired private security.
Wait, what does rolling someone's house mean?
Toilet, that's what we call it. Yeah. Throwing toilet paper.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah, toilet papering. And so one night I really did have to outrun the cops, and I had to like drive into a stranger's driveway and like turn the lights off, and like after driving like 900 miles an hour down the road, it was intense.
But, you did it?
Yeah, totally. I wasn't going to get arrested. Like, fuck that. I outran the cops a few times as a kid, which the funny thing is I never did anything illegal. Like, toilet papering, who cares? But I did that so often.
It's littering.
Mm-hmm. Right, but I don't think that you go to jail or anything. But they were
a lot of littering.
This is how mean they are, though, you guys. I didn't find out about this till after the fact, because apparently, I think the girl lived within walking distance to Grace, but they had this girl in one of their classes that always wore like really ugly vests, like just terrible vests. So like every day they would come out of whatever this class crying, laughing, like, dude, you should have seen her vest today. And I'm like, okay. And as a joke, I can't believe I'm saying this out loud. This is so mean. Please know I had nothing to do with this. But they went to somewhere, they bought like the ugliest vest they could find, and they wrapped it up like a present and left it on her porch. And she wore it to school the next day.
She liked it. That's a prank.
Why does that make it more sad?
That's a prank turnaround.
It does.
Like, no, I think she wins. Yes. She wins.
But I've never seen two people laugh harder than they did that day. Like, they were just like, can you fucking believe it? Like, but yeah, so it was like mean but good. They gave her a gift. I don't know, but they were just like, this is the most hideous thing. Let's see if this dork wears it. And like, she totally was like, look at my cool vest the next day.
Hell yeah.
But also never asked. Wasn't like, who left this on my porch?
She was probably like, someone loves me. This is beautiful.
So that's like the meanest prank I've ever heard in my life. And my friends did it.
I have so many of these stories that I don't, and they would all incriminate me.
Oh.
I'll tell.
Well, jump in.
Well, me and my friends all lived above this bagel shop downtown. It's like 10 of us lived in this apartment. And so you could see, we had a 360 view of the entire downtown Missoula.
Oh.
And we had it was supposed to launch water balloons, but we would launch frozen bagels at cars, and it would dent them.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. One time a guy was asleep across the street. I ran across the street, and he wouldn't wake up, and I squirted mustard in the back of his pants. A lot of mustard.
That stains,
and
Chris.
Then we went upstairs, and we heckled him from a megaphone, and then a car came to pick him up, and he got in the car, and they drove half a block, and then the car stopped, and he got kicked out because he had mustard coming out of his butt crack. And then another time we were watching, and we peed in part of a 40 of beer and put it on the street corner.
Oh, no.
And then watched one guy on a bike and another guy. They were friends at first, and then they fought over the beer, not knowing that half of it was pee. And the guy that won, the guy without the bike, pushed the guy with the bike onto his bike. And we were concerned. He, like, fell on the pedal. So I'm not that bad. But the guy walked a little further, and then we all watched him drink the pee.
Did he know? Okay. Did he react?
And another time, we put poop under this guy's car door because he had skulls and lights all over his car and long stringy hair, and he looked scary. And then we watched him try and open his door, and then he smelled his fingers and he yelled, it's poop. And we all laughed, but later we felt bad.
I did that to a guy in high school that
was super
mean to me.
I just need a follow-up question.
Sorry.
Did the guy who drank the beer pee know?
No. Most of it was beer. He enjoyed it and drank all of it.
Okay. So that's the best situation where that prank didn't work, because that guy had a great time.
We later found the empty bottle around the corner. So we knew he either poured it out and set it upright, or he drank it and said, that was refreshing.
He said, that's the most delicious beer I've ever had.
Yeah.
I have to go back to you heckling the other guy with a megaphone.
Yeah.
Like, what are you yelling
into
a megaphone?
We were filming it, too. These are all... We could have been jackass, but we didn't know that was a thing.
Were you like a skateboard crew? Was this a skateboard situation?
We were the Front Street Mob, yes.
Yeah.
We had stickers.
I've seen your stuff.
And the guy parked in Andy's parking lot, and we put poop under his doorknob. He had a doorknob on it. It's a very old car, a Model T with a doorknob. door handle.
I did.
It was dog poop.
There was a guy in high school that was super mean to me. And me and my friends knew he was going to be on a date. And we soaked, we weren't L7 style. They weren't real, but we soaked tampons and cherry Kool-Aid and put them under both of his door handles. So when him and his date went to get in the car, they thought they had a handful of used tampons.
Oh, jeez.
Oh,
geez.
Wow. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
My cousin Cheryl got in trouble.
I should have put brownie mix under the guy's door handle. Mm.
Now you know. Mm-hmm. My cousin Cheryl got in trouble when she was in high school, which was like the late 70s, because she and her friends unpeeled a bunch of maxi pads and stuck them to a guy in her class's conversion van that he had just had painted like metallic midnight blue. And so when he pulled the maxi pads off, it just ripped the paint off.
Oh,
so
no.
They did it maxi pad style, like a TP thing to be flirty and cute. And they ended up having to pay for
to
his,
pay for, it to get
for his conversion van to be repainted.
Oh, wow. No.
That was like a big, like that was when I was really little, and I remember that was
that's
like
a
the
lot
first
of money.
Trouble yeah. people got into. And I was
yeah,
like,
that is
wow.
one thing. My mom was really cool about me, shockingly, as square as my mom is, for real. She was always cool with me doing that because she was like, that doesn't do any damage. I would tell her, like, I'm going to go roll these people's houses.
Because mm-hmm.
she had a Costco membership. And I was like, can I go to Costco with you next time? Get some extra toilet paper. And she was like, oh, yeah, totally. Because she was like, as long as you're just doing that. She was like, never egg anybody's house or never do anything where I'm going to get sued because you.
Yes.
And she was... My mom, I never drank, and my mom always knew that. So if I went out at like 2 a.m, she was fine with it. I was like, oh, I'm just going to go out and roll these people's house. I would tell my mom that. And she was just like, it's all, as long as the cops don't call. If the cops call me, I'm not your mom. I don't know you. But if the cops don't call, cool. Like, do whatever you need to do. So she was
that's a good
only
policy.
Cool with that.
Yeah. I'm just her older roommate.
Yeah, I mean, she was like, I'm not bailing you out of jail, so don't get caught. But yeah, go do what
but
you need
I'll
to do.
But I'll buy you the toilet paper.
Yeah, for sure.
And have a good time.
But that was the only, yeah, she warned me against things. We wanted to do something where it was the same kind of thing, though, where she was like, don't do that. That's going to take the paint off. Or we were going to do something to somebody's driveway, and she was like, that's going to bleach their driveway. Don't do it. Yeah, she always, I did run a few pranks by my mom to be like, is this going to cause property damage or not? And then she would tell us. She was like, stick to toilet paper.
See, because that's where like the fun ends and then the like bullshit begins. It's because it's all well and good. And most of the time it's flirting. Like most of the time when people are pranking someone else, it's because they want their attention. Right. I mean, not skateboard crew, not
no,
the same
I was
thing.
Flirting when I put syrup in there before the mustard. And that was a bit of a flirt. A little sweet before the
that
sour.
That was, yeah, hey, yeah, mix it up.
Mustard was revenge.
Mustard was vicious.
For not noticing the syrup.
What if the inside of that car had like white, like pleather seats? And then
it was a white car.
Really?
Yeah.
So it could have had a serious mustard stain on that.
The sad part about it all is these are people that had bigger problems. I mean, the guy was sleeping on a bench.
You were punching down for sure.
We saw him often, and he was a bad person during the day yelling at people. Mm-hmm. And he was asleep, and we saw the opportunity.
Great.
His butt crack was all the way out. So...
Lesson learned.
Yeah. Why not put condiments in there?
This is a hard left, but you look very tan.
Oh. Can you guys
think?
Yeah.
What's going on? Have you been on a beach vacation?
I got bit by a spider there.
Wait,
and
what?
And
that's
poison
that
traveled there. And now I have a weird... What is
Chris.
That?
Chris!
Wait, you have like to go to the doctor.
Yeah, no shit!
It's a spider.
No, if that's a brown recluse, that could be bad news.
You'd have to have like, your arm amputated.
It hurt the other day, but it's getting better now.
Those marks are not normal.
No, they're weird.
Can you pull your sleeve up, please?
Okay, you guys, listen, it looks like a shark bite. I mean, it's like this weird mark in a perfect half circle.
Yeah, it is weird. I thought maybe I got bruised by a tennis racket or played volleyball in my sleep again.
You have to go to the doctor.
Also, because the thing with bumps on it.
Yeah, that.
Show.
You're right.
Yeah, there's.
Comedy first.
It's dry. I don't know.
You're ready to write some new jokes about losing your arm.
Okay.
No, that's
like,
actually.
Go to the doctor.
Being a
here's my impression of a teapot again.
Yeah. Boo.
Well, I lost my arm. I lost my arm for this.
Still have a lot of people.
Who was that comic that used to, Reagan, or he had a hook?
Roger Rittenhouse.
Rittenhouse,
yeah. He's one of the funniest comics there is.
He's very funny. But one night at M-Bar, there was a lull in his set, and someone said, how'd you lose your hand? And I, everyone got quiet. I know that the guy thought that he's like, oh, he's got to have a great story about this. And he was some drunk guy, but he's like, he just really used the ability right then to make the guy feel bad by just going, wow. Yeah, it's wow. Yeah. I don't know why you would ever heckle that. And he like ended his set, and the guy, I think, went. Oh, that guy killed himself. He had to. He felt so
felt
bad.
So bad.
He,
you know.
Yeah,
this is extra weird because
What do I get if it starts before my elbow? I can't just get a hook.
It's just last night I slept on the couch. When I was lying in bed last night, I saw two. At separate times, I saw one giant centipede, a millipede, something with a trillion legs.
For real?
Crawling down one side of the wall. So I was like, oh, that's weird. And then like 5 minutes later, I saw another one. So I was like, not sleeping in this room tonight. And like went and slept on the couch because like that was so gross to me. But those can't bite you. You have to go to the doctor.
You guys are acting like I did something wrong.
Not
going to the doctor.
I'm not worried about it.
All right. Now, don't you have a low pain tolerance?
Yes.
Or, like, you don't feel it, is what I'm saying?
I think a high tolerance for it.
High tolerance, right.
Yeah. I have low pain sensory.
Exactly. So you could actually be in more pain than you.
I don't know, though. I always complain about pain. I acknowledge that it's there. Well, I show it to people, and then I don't do anything about it.
All right.
My hip has hurt for years. I know I should get surgery.
Now you got some spider bites that, I've never seen anything that looks like that.
I just want to see what develops next.
Okay, great. Then let's have fun with it.
Looks like Wisconsin.
Right now it looks like Wisconsin. When it starts to look like the USSR, that's when we will call an ambulance. How about that?
Yeah, let's judge it by how much of Asia it becomes. Anyway, I've been having dizzy spells. No, I'm kidding. I'm fine. I don't think it was a brown recluse. I've
been
bit by brown recluse. We had them in my basement growing up.
Really?
Yeah, I had to go.
And you know what exactly what it looks like?
Yeah, they look like a hobo spider or a domesticated house spider. Very similar, but well-lit markings will let you know, and size. They're actually smaller. You do not want a recluse.
Not
in your sauce. You don't want.
Did you have a party on 4th of July weekend?
Well, I didn't want you guys to see me all drunk. Yes, I did. I didn't invite anyone.
You invited
me. It's
Nate's
party.
I got invited.
I think she was bringing it up because she's offended.
Okay.
No, I wouldn't. I knew I was invited. Nate invited me.
I should invite. It was really fun.
But I couldn't go anyway. I had to work through the whole weekend. I did nothing from Thursday to Tuesday mornings.
Oh, yeah.
That's my
We were going to podcast.
That's right. But I thought maybe that's why you were so tan or something like that.
I went.
Was it a rager?
Did you stay outside? I went to Andy's pool. I went to Andy Wood's pool party yesterday.
Oh, nice.
And kind of burned myself. Yeah, that's where it came from. That's the sun.
Any fun comedy names to name from that pool party?
People that we should know. People you need to watch.
Yeah.
I have a fun name.
Who?
Because I went to Hardwick's on the 4th of July,
mm-hmm.
and Ryan Adams was there.
Oh.
See, that's better. Ryan Adams was there.
There was a lot of other like famous people, but he walked in, I was like, what? Because, of course, he's head-to-toe denim. Cool pool party attire.
That's right.
Also, because I was wearing my I Love to Fart t-shirt, and he applauded it, literally clapped. And I was like, you're a fan of farts? I don't.
Yes.
Yeah, he was real psyched about it.
Mm-hmm.
He was cool, but it was just weird because he walked in, and I was like, "What? You guys are friends? Like, what? Yeah.
I wouldn't know what he looks like.
I mean, he looks like an indie rock dude. He was cool, but he was wearing his jean jacket the whole time, and everyone was in the pool and stuff. So it was just that kind of like...
Do you think Ryan Adams
listens to indie rock, or does he maybe listen to his kind of crappy rock?
I don't know much about him other than once we got in a weird Twitter argument about Morrissey or something, and then
you and Brian Adams?
Oh, Ryan. Did you say Brian or Ryan?
I said Ryan, but...
Oh.
But Brian also. I wonder what he's doing right now.
I thought you said, does he listen to indie rock or his crappy rock?
She said Ryan Adams was dressed like an indie rocker guy. And I was making a joke.
Oh, I get it. I thought you were saying
what
Ryan
would
Adams.
You, is he like an, would you say he's more alt country or something? Is he more, he reminds me of like an old 97s-ish dude.
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of his steez?
Yeah.
I never have been too into him.
I think it's his steez.
I like his steez a lot.
The music is just kind of music for boring people.
I mean, he's okay.
Boo.
He was a nice guy.
I'm sure he's nice.
But
I thoroughly disagree. Nice.
Oh, really?
This is a real counterpoint.
You love him.
I really love Ryan Adams' music. Okay. I listen to
him.
No,
I have tons of friends that are like crazy into him.
I would put him in the same category as like Damien Rice.
No, I think that guy's more chill.
And who do you like? 311?
Oh.
I don't dislike him. Reggae. I just don't.
Let's hear some.
No.
But there was a guy. Yeah, so I went to Hardwick's.
I just said no.
I'm sorry. Did you really want to do it?
No, I didn't.
I feel like I talked. You should be talking more. I'm sorry.
No.
He can't talk because of the spider poison. It's gotten up to his voice box.
I'm growing weak. Here, maybe this water will help. Talk amongst yourselves.
But you look so tan and healthy other than the markings on your arm.
It'll go away.
I'm going to put mustard down the back of your pants. I just decided.
I'm going to yell at you from a megaphone at a great height and tell you to go to the doctor.
Yep. You're about to get pranked, boy.
Pranked.
One of the times, though, these guys crawled up the wall and there was a big fight on the roof. So our pranks...
One of the people on the street that you
harass? There was a way to get up there, but we didn't think they'd figure it out. But you could shimmy. There's poles next to a wall, and they shimmied up like Batman. And then these cowboys were on the roof, and we had to get punched and get someone punched him. There was punches. I didn't get punched.
Well, that's good.
I hid, I think.
Yeah, like a little brown recluse spider under a table?
I went and took a nap under someone's armpit. Some learning time. That's when I strike, when you don't know I'm there.
I meant to tell you. So this show that I'm working on right now, there's a time travel element to it. So this might be secret. So don't anybody listening tell anybody else. But they brought in a physicist to talk through what is the known quantities of time travel. Like what the theories are, what is known about it or whatever. And just to give us kind of like a very basic primer of like how it may and may not work and the different theories. And it was fascinating. And the second I was immediately in love with him, and he was from Missoula, Montana.
Oh, wow.
He apparently has a bunch of YouTube videos that are really popular where he explains, he's a physicist or a... some, you know, like very high level scientist.
Wow.
But he was really young and he was super like cute, and I can't explain it. He looked like he would work at REI, but he was a fucking physicist.
Everyone in Missoula looks like they're at REI.
Really?
They just came from the... Everyone has mud splattered on their face.
Yeah. And a carabiner on their belt loop.
But it's just for holding keys, because the other one, that's a novelty key carabiner.
But they got the real carabiner.
Oh, the one at home with the ropes.
That's right.
Wait a minute. Yeah. I've never heard... I just learned the name of that. Are you talking about the like heavy duty hook thing? Just now.
Carabiner.
Just now from you guys.
Isn't that a good word, carabiner?
Carabiner.
How do you spell that?
CARIBENER.
Why is it called that and not a hook?
Chris, I'll let you take this one. Because I was probably wrong on the spelling.
That's for mountain climbing,
you
right?
You see, in mountain climbing, there also is hooks. So they had to come up with a new name for the thing that wasn't a hook. It's more of a loop clasp. And then loop clasp was too hard for people to say. So, and then one of the Latino guys, a lot of the guys there are racist, but when the guy that thought of it, he was trying to name it. And then someone said, oh, I don't care. And then they called him a racial.
No!
You're going to say beaner, aren't you?
No, you did. Weird. That's crazy.
The racist term from the 80s.
I don't know where carabiner comes from.
I got in insane trouble one day. My aunt, I thought, was going to hit me in the face because I said that term. I'd heard it on the playground in like third grade. And I thought it was like, somebody just kept calling other people beaners, and I just thought it was like nickname type of thing.
Right.
So I just said it in passing, literally like, look at those two beaners. And my aunt slammed on the brakes and was like, what do you think? And she was screaming at me. I was in so much trouble, and I had no idea what I was doing at all.
My dad slapped me once when I said a word that I'd heard a friend say.
So that's the way we learn as kids.
Yeah.
Or did back then.
Yeah, he didn't slap me very much.
No, but
like, oh, you can't say that.
Yep.
I'm like, yeah, I know, you hit my face.
Yeah, the only time my mom slapped me across the face was when I said fuck.
Yeah. That's
I was
okay,
like,
though.
16 and I said fuck in front of her. She slapped me right across the face.
Shit.
Yeah. It was intense.
Mine was light, I think.
No, oh, I knew what I was doing. I was
it wasn't
like showing
my dad's
what a badass.
Whole hand. He curled the fingers together
and, into a fist.
Yeah, yes. It was more of a punch. Just come on, he's listening.
Oh, but anyway, I just wanted to tell you about that because I thought he was from like UCLA or something. This physicist.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So then they were like, "Where?" He was at the University of Montana.
And he's young to where I wouldn't know him.
I mean, I was going to ask, but then I was honestly too embarrassed and my cheeks were super red because he was so cute. And this was the power move he made. One of the very first, because everyone in that room, there's a ton of really smart guys that work on the show, like went to Harvard and shit.
Mm-hmm.
So they immediately start to engage him of like, he was like, well, I'm just here to, you know, answer your questions. And then one guy goes, do you think that we are living in a simulation? And immediately, without going like, or anything, he goes, if we are, if we aren't, it doesn't matter. And I just like, my heart exploded with love of like the confidence. And he knew, he'd been asked this question. He knew. It's just if it is, if it is a simulation, it is so accurate and so realistic that we cannot tell the difference. So it doesn't matter what we're living in. We'd still have to live the same way. We have to live as, you know, like you should be living as if you're in charge of your own life anyway. So this idea that, you know, something else, we're in a game or this is all computer or whatever, it doesn't matter.
Because it seems realistic, but the reality is you're in some dank laboratory plugged into a chair, right?
Could be that.
Yeah.
Could be that. Depends on which Matrix you've seen. Yeah,
that's right. That's right.
I haven't seen any of them.
I watched the first one, and there's someone deaf in the audience, so they had the closed captioning on during the movie, which popped up right before the lines, and I was already laughing at the fact that that's the guy from Bill and Ted,
right?
And everyone loves this movie, and that's still the guy from Bill and Ted. And then at one point, he goes, okie dokie. But it said okie dokie at the bottom way before he said it. So it said okie dokie and everyone read it. And then he goes, okie dokie. And the whole theater laughed at his face.
He's not a good actor.
No, but I've seen enough videos of him moving aside on a subway to let someone sit down and give money to people. And he's very charitable.
He was he was very good.
Aaron's nodding.
Why? Do you have a story, Aaron?
Oh. You've heard, though. He's like, well,
no, he's
since
supposed
this
to be
movie's
cool.
not paying
yeah,
anyone, I'm going to pay the whole crew with my own money.
Yeah, that's
which is wonderful, and I'm not knocking that, but a lot of that comes from the guilt of being like, I am not talented enough to be here.
But
I have to give this money away.
Wait,
that's why you let a lady sit down on the subway bus.
But let me say,
I don't know if it was a subway
bus. Have you seen Parenthood?
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, oh, totally. He's amazing.
Yeah.
And I think that's when he started as Bill and Ted or whatever. And then Parenthood, people went, oh, yeah, he can actually do something.
Mm-hmm.
And, but that's the thing about acting is that it isn't like American acting is about can you get people to buy a movie ticket? And all Keanu Reeves needs to do to get people to buy a movie ticket is to say okie dokie.
Yeah.
Because they want to watch him on that screen.
Take off your shirt. Okie dokie.
It's the way he looks. It's his physical, beautiful.
Is he ripped?
He is sometimes.
He's just a kind of, he's tall and he's built and he's got that beautiful kind of neutral face that
like
he could be from anywhere.
But you don't know who Keanu Reeves is.
I know exactly. I have never found him attractive for one second.
There's this new movie that's cartoonishly, he just kills everyone.
John Wick?
John Wick. Jonathan Wick.
It's John Wick.
Jonathan H. Wick is a newer film. You
it's
can see
the
it on,
Dickens, based on the Dickens novel.
Johnny John Boy Wick is this movie that you can see that is horribly done. And there's a couple times, I don't know if he gets naked in it, but it seems like he has been like eating bread and not going to the gym. And I respect that. He's like, I'm not going to get into shape for this.
Well, he's also like 50.
Right, but has he ever been a muscle
Your
dude?
Metabolism. I think...
He was like wiry. He was
right.
The wiry. Skinny guy.
Because, I mean, I've seen, it's like Point Break. He's not the guy surfing.
He's
not the
like
guy.
He's in like a football movie where he got all big and football-y big.
Oh.
Yeah.
Was that that movie Johnny Football?
It's called
Jonathan H.
Toss Me the Wick.
What if every movie he just had the name John in it somehow?
Bill and Wick?
Johnny.
Bill and Johnny Wick? All right. I know. Yeah, yes.
I like we'll him.
Look at, I'll Google pictures.
I will watch Keanu.
Keanu ripped. And then I'll do it right now.
I think he's a classic American actor in that he's a bad actor that still is in a ton of movies.
Ooh, right? A 1-800 number called me 3 times in 2 minutes. Should I call him back?
It's the doctor being like, why aren't you here?
It's the spider saying, yeah. I left Listen, my stinger in you.
Every one of my bites has worked, and I saw you leave the apartment today.
The spider has a toll-free number.
Listen, I think I did some real damage to your arm, Chris. I'm sorry. I go a little spider crazy at night. I'm hungry and scared. I'm very small.
Sometimes I feel like my own venom is going to my head. Anyway, you can call me back at my spider phone.
It's toll-free.
Or you can contact me on the web. Come on.
No.
Come on, you guys.
Yes. No,
That's
I say
a great
yes.
joke.
I booed you earlier. Now I'm applauding you.
I don't understand why people don't like well-placed puns.
I thought it was...
You guys were rejoicing over the toll-free thing. I came in with the web, and it was a witch hunt. It was a witch hunt.
Applause.
You got an applause break.
Applause.
I focus on the audience that doesn't like me.
I do, too.
In a huge room, even. One guy with his arms crossed. This whole act is dedicated to you. Keanu ripped. Let's see what pops up. Ooh, images. You want images or video?
Video.
Honestly, neither, but images, I guess.
Oh, you're going to get it. Oh boy! There we go.
You're gonna totally get fake? It.
Let me see.
Oh, it's just
is his head.
It's just him being in the same shape as me.
So
that, yeah, I needed that for contrast. This is great podcasting. What I've pulled up is a photo of Keanu with my exact current physique. There's him as a homeless park murderer, and then
okay.
You just wait.
I think he's fun.
He
I think he's fresh.
He's fine.
I think he brings new stuff to the screen.
He's fresh.
He's certainly won me over.
He's so fresh. Exciting.
Have you?
Oh, no, there's some
so
arm.
Exciting to me.
Oh, okay. His arms look kind of sick.
Is that
there.
Him? Yeah. That's cool, him cool, from Johnny cool. Johnny Football, right?
Yeah.
This is him doing some Johnny Football promo stuff. Jimmy Football game, it's called. And
Jimmy Football Game.
Jimmy Football Game.
That hit movie from 1992?
Wasn't a hit. Unfortunately, it went straight to VHS when DVDs are already out there.
Jimmy Football Game.
I watched one where he's coaching a children's baseball team.
Yes, that's a good one.
It was great.
It's a good movie.
It was like Ladybugs or something.
Yeah, it was Ladybugs-esque.
Yeah, it's great. You gotta see it.
What is that movie?
Baseball Johnny. You see Baseball Johnny? Baseball Johnny and the Kids.
Oh, you gotta see Baseball Johnny.
Johnny and the Kids is one of the better. It's the current, it's modern day Sandlot.
Here's the thing. When Keanu Reeves acts like he's falling in love with whoever he is across from in the lead, whatever lady he's acting with, I always believe he's actually really falling in love with her. That's why I like it.
Oh, okay.
I think he might actually be. Okay. He just lets himself actually go through it.
You think he might be a fallen lover guy?
Well, I just, it's so believable, but it doesn't seem like he really is like such an like high level actor that you're like, this is really happening. Because you normally when he's talking, you don't have that feeling.
I have a feeling that with Keanu, anything goes sexually. He'll it doesn't matter. and your sex or your race or age, he's in to win.
You know,
don't you think that just these orgies just a
well, yeah, but if
a
you
throne
look,
of people that he sits inside of,
sure,
and just
takes what comes.
He's so non-sexual to me.
He's a sex god.
I feel like you'd say something different if he was standing next to you.
He's a physical specimen.
Think about him.
No.
Yes.
I don't find him attractive.
Close your eyes.
He has no, like, he has like a Ken doll crotch as far as I'm concerned.
Please bring up the nude.
That you
Here
just
it
have
is.
Ready to go. I have complete indifference. I don't like him. I don't hate him. But I've never... He was definitely not a guy that I was like, oh my God, isn't he hot?
Well, no, I wasn't
I want to remind everyone, I started this by saying I went to the Matrix and pointed and laughed with the rest of the theater at him.
Yes. Forever. We went to see Constantine when it came out, which was a lesser known Keanu Reeves.
Isn't that where he is the devil or something?
I can't remember. It was based on a comic book. So it was just him walking around with a gun. There's vengeance. He may have been the devil or became the devil.
Vengeance involved.
All I can tell you, it was very boring. And my ex used to say, he used to go, "I'm Doug Constantine." All the time. He just made it up that was Constantine's first name was Doug. So he would do a Keanu Reeves voice and go, "I'm Doug Constantine." And it was my favorite thing of all time.
I like Doug Constantine.
I do too.
That's a great character.
You kind of have to make it fun for yourself.
Sorry, speaking of pranks, I was at Comic-Con for the Constantine panel. And
is his first name Doug?
No, it's John.
Okay. John.
It's John. It's
John and Constantine.
Told you.
No, so my buddy and I go, we have to yell, because I love Point Break unabashedly.
Sure. Yeah.
So I was like, we have to yell Johnny Utah at him.
Yes.
Because they yell it in the movie. It's great. It's the stupidest name ever.
Of course.
So Keanu gets up to the stage. The crowd goes wild. It gets quiet. Then all of a sudden, I stand up and yell "Johnny Utah" at the top of my lungs. You know, my buddy did not do it, so
he bailed, and you were on your own. And then what happened?
It was fine.
No one
did. People laugh?
I don't know.
Did Keanu just slowly? I don't know if he could hear
it. Yeah, I don't know if he could hear it. I wasn't that far, but
Well, I hope you quit being with that guy.
I was about to say, your friend sucks.
Yeah, you don't bail when you're going.
I kind of think your friend's funny. sure, I'll do it with you. That's totally something I would do.
And then your attorney's not even there.
I don't like that at all.
You know what I did once? I was that guy, the anti-Johnny Utah guy, but in a slightly different scenario. This was back at my friend Ruben, who directed the Girls Guitar Club movie. This is back when we were making that.
Yeah, Ruben Blades.
Ruben Fleischer and his younger brother Lucas, who I adored and thought was so cute, and we all decided their friend had made a stage musical, or like they were doing a stage version of Xanadu, they were going to do a roller skating, like,
holy shit,
whole thing of it. And so we went to the opening night to watch it, and I was so excited. And when Lucas and I were talking about it, we're like, oh my god, this is going to be amazing, and we were laughing or whatever. And then I of course said, we should dress up really fancy for the opening night. Like, you should wear a tuxedo and I'll wear like a ball gown. And he was like, I will totally do that. And I'm like, let's do it. And I would do shit like this all the time.
You
just totally not do
left
it.
Left him hanging.
I left him hanging.
That's terrible.
And I didn't, it was the kind of thing where they came to pick us up. It was me and Mary Lynn and Ruben and Lucas. And when he got out of the car, he looked so beautiful too. This man was so cute that I had this, of course, my terrible low self-esteem where I was like, well, he doesn't give a shit if I wear a dress or not. Like, and I couldn't bring myself to like not wear basically the outfit that I'm wearing now and have been for 20 years. And when we came down the steps, he came out of the car with this big smile on his face, like, look, I did it.
This is breaking my heart.
And then he just saw me and was just like, oh. And
that's me.
I literally, I weakly wince about it. Weakly.
Oh, you don't stop wincing.
I've never stopped wincing. Oh. And we had this, the whole rest of the night, it suddenly it made sense to me where it was like, oh, he was excited to do this thing with me. And I couldn't accept that. Like, or I couldn't see that. So I just had to be like, oh, of course he doesn't give a shit about me. And then I sat there the rest of the night going, oh, if I had worn a dress and we had done this, this would almost have been like a date or something.
Yeah,
like that's maybe what he wanted to do. But I, of course, couldn't see myself that way. So then the rest of the night, it was just like him and I sitting super uncomfortably. And then like the second he saw his friend that was in the play or whatever, it was like he was over there. And then I was just like,
oh my God, I'm going to
cry. I just want to go home. It was the fucking worst. If we're going to, let's bookend this prank episode. Talk about how it was like just an intentional ball drop of insecurity is basically what it was. So awful.
So
I bet, I tell the story and then I bet your friend, do you think he still regrets it?
I doubt it. He has a family in Cleveland.
That's really mean. I have dogs. God damn it. My life is a waste.
No, it's okay. I'm the other guy in that story. My life is equally sad. Do you know what I mean? So nobody wins.
You're the guy in the tuxedo?
Yes.
Yeah.
So being overly enthusiastic also gets you nowhere, is what I'm here to tell you. So don't feel bad.
Man.
Yeah. If you put yourself out there, you get hurt. If you don't put yourself out there, you still get hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Life's filled with regret.
Yes, it is.
The only thing you can do is, as a kid, get taught to have yourself, your expectations lowered, and you never get disappointed.
Who was smart enough to do that?
An old man in my neighborhood. Said, you'll never, nothing good will ever
And then
happen.
You put like mayonnaise.
Like, yeah, it will.
Mayonnaise in his pipe or something.
Oh, yeah. Wait until he's asleep. Slathered him up.
Yelled at him in his rocking chair.
Yep.
It went into a bullhorn or whatever. Made his hair go back, like, is it live or is it Memorex?
Yeah. I put a cat's tail under the rocking chair, and the cat screeched, and then his hair got blown back like Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah. One of my earliest memories is my mom used mayonnaise to put as conditioner in her hair.
Yeah, my great aunt did that. I hate
and
it
because
too,
of that. I cannot stand mayonnaise.
My aunt Renee did the same thing.
You've seen me do ridiculous things with a tuna salad sandwich, right? Yeah, how many times have you seen me take? So because I like a tuna salad sandwich every once in a while, but when they put extra mayonnaise on it, drives me crazy.
God, yeah,
and I'll like ask, be specific. They still do it. Then I take all this time and make scenes wiping mayonnaise off of things.
Ugh. Right,
because it's so disgusting.
My dad made me one as a kid, and if I have leftover turkey from Thanksgiving on bread with nothing but mayonnaise, if I took a bite of that, I will vomit.
Ugh.
I can't.
Why? Because he made you such a bad sandwich?
I don't eat. No, it just was such a bad experience back then that it's still, I haven't grown out of it.
Oh, yeah.
One time, my great grandma made, we went to Coronado, drove all the way down. It's in San Diego, basically. And we were all at a picnic in the backyard eating this coleslaw. And I remember it was really mayonnaise-y. Coleslaw is such a
It's just mayonnaise.
Cabbage veiled excuse to drink mayonnaise. It's just a mayonnaise vehicle.
Yep.
And cabbage, what is that? It's like water and mayonnaise, basically.
It's the hardest lettuce.
And I looked at my dad, his lip is bleeding. And I spit out, there's glass in my mouth. My grandma dropped the mayonnaise jar.
No.
And she's like 95. She's like, it'll be fine. And she still made the coleslaw with that mayonnaise. So we all had shards of glass. Either in our mouth. No, I don't think anyone swallowed it yet.
Yeah.
Just chewed it
up. I think just on the heels of my sister, she hadn't used her hairdryer since Reagan, and turned on the hairdryer, and a giant fucking grasshopper leg that it was as long as my finger caught on fire in the hairdryer, because it was coils, and flew a flaming leg of a grasshopper was in my sister's hair. And she screamed. It's worse than the time she had earthworms. She had earthworms in her hair, and they were tangled in her hair. That was actually horrifying.
Oh my God.
How?
Trying to pull it out, and the earthworm was snapping in half. Ew. We camped in the backyard, and worms got in her hair. It's still that. One time my sister slid across the floor, the wood floor, and a splinter went into her foot, and it was half the length of a baseball bat. And it went up in her foot. So many things I've watched happen to my sister.
Were you guys home alone?
Sorry, Lisa.
It was the two of you home
alone. We were just doing risky business slides in our socks.
Sure, sure.
With the music and everything.
A classic move. I'm saying, were you the only other person there when that happened?
Oh, when the splinter went in her foot? I don't know.
Because I'm just saying, did you have to yank it out? Yeah, like, were you left to then deal with this horror show that, like, EMTs would bum out at?
I think I probably just went and hid.
The gnarliest thing that happened to me is I got in a gnarly bike accident. When my parents first got married, my mom first married my stepdad, we moved into his house, and it had a really steep driveway. So I'm like bike tricks all day.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just constantly ride my bike as fast as possible without like hands free. Yeah, whatever. Like any daring thing I could think of, I'm like, I'm going to do this. So one day when I was riding down it without my hands, it was in a big cul-de-sac, and I landed and I flipped over. And I was screaming the whole time, clearly. I'm like, holy shit, screaming. So my mouth was still open when I hit the pavement. nobody can see what I'm doing, but basically I slid face first on the pavement, mouth open, teeth to pavement. Teeth to, that's why I still have white marks on these teeth. I was like 8 or 9 maybe. For an extended period of time. Just sparks coming off my teeth.
Someone has to make a cartoon of this. I beg you, if you listen to this podcast, you care about me at all. If you can make a cartoon of eight-year-old April Richardson who's sliding on her own teeth.
Just,
body spark. Scorpioned.
Yeah, so I'm like doing that.
Feet above head.
Feet above head, fully flipped over. So I had to go inside. You guys, my entire face was just a scab, my mouth, everything. And my stepdad had to be mouth wide open, and he had to take Q-tips and pick gravel out of my gums. There was like gravel stuck in my gums. Not a lie. It was the gnarliest day of my life. And I had to go to school for however long until my entire scabbed face healed. My lips were just a scab. It was so gross. That's yeah. So
gravel just had to, like, in the gums. I had to, like, the dentist lean from the Flintstones had to do.
Yeah, full-on Q-tips just being like, let me get the last bits of...
The dental assistant bird is picking gravel going...
I hate my job.
What a living.
It's yeah,
a
because living. I already That's have... That's what they always said.
It's hey, a it's a paycheck, bub.
Hey. Yeah, you can still see the marks on my teeth, and I already have soft teeth anyway, and I used to chip them all the time as a kid and take my mom's nail file and straighten them out.
What?
True. Totally true.
They're fine, though. They're perfect teeth.
They're not really perfect teeth.
They're good teeth.
The bottom of these two is like really rigid, but I chipped them all the time as a kid, and like if it got, like my tongue would be like, oh, that's weird, it's not smooth enough, and my tongue would kind of catch on it, so I'd be like, mom's nail file.
That like, is.
I actually did that because I chipped this tooth on a beer bottle in high school. Hello.
Oh.
Told my mom I fell and hit it on the curb, which I was just like, I know you're not believing this, but I can't tell you I chipped it on a beer bottle, and then I chipped my other tooth on another beer bottle.
Yeah.
So that's why.
Were you opening them with your teeth?
No. The first time it was high school senior trip in Tahoe, me and my friend Patty Leone, this was such a good lesson to learn. We were both singing into a beer bottle topper, just drunk.
Oh, okay.
Drunk in this house by the lake. And I'm sure it was like something at a different part. So we were like grabbing the bottle away from each other to sing into the bottle at each other. I thought it was really funny. And then like we kept fighting harder. And then I was like really trying to pull it away, and she just let go. And I just went and like broke off this part of my teeth.
These teeth stories are making me.
They're kind of rough.
Well, yeah. After I did the bike thing, I had braces for like 5 years.
Just a wincy couple stories. Now I'm going to describe my circumcision. Where you fellas out there.
There's something to me about when you are perfectly healthy and fine in the today, being able to tell a story about some hideous shit that happened to you as a kid. Because, like, I remember anytime anything happened to me, like, I biffed it on my bike constantly, or, you know, there was the time I almost got hit by the car because our next door or across the street neighbors, the guy was a trucker, the O'Hara's, and so they had this huge semicircular driveway that he could pull a semi-truck into.
Oh, right, yeah.
And so we would drive in this big circle, our little driveway, and then their driveway. It made this big, huge circle going across that same road where no one drove by, but when they did, they were going 80 miles an hour.
Sure.
So one time I called my parents out, they had company over, and they were like, watch us ride our bikes. We were like, I was probably 5 or 6.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at the top of the O'Hara's looking down at my parents, and I can see my mom going like this, but I wasn't like really paying attention because I'm trying to like get the speed up. Well, they could hear the car that was coming.
Right.
And I couldn't hear it, because I was on like gravel and bike tires on gravel, whatever. And it basically went... It either went me and then the car, or the car then me, but it literally was like right. One then the other. It was probably me then the car. So the car literally didn't have time to brake. It was my parents and their friends and their friends'
parents. Like front row seats for this.
Sitting there watching. And my dad grabbed me. I didn't even know the car was there. It was that fast and that close. And I was just like, what happened? My dad... As I pulled into our driveway, I never slowed down. My dad picked me up off the bike and slapped me on the ass really hard, of course, which was super embarrassing. And then later came to find
out. To let you know.
Find out. Never do that again.
Right.
Because I never even looked. I didn't, you know, it was like all clear on I-80.
See, it's stories like that that make me second guess ever being able to be a parent. Seriously. Or like the idea if I have a kid and the kid comes in like, hey, you got to chip this growl out of my teeth. I'd be like, you're on your own, kid. Get out of here. Like, that's gross. I can't look at that. Like, yeah.
You would be
I wouldn't
very
be
gross.
Able to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's horrifying. Those are my nightmares. I think about my teeth falling out. Mm-hmm. And then during the day, just awake mares, I think about getting hit by cars all the time.
Yeah.
Like, I'll just flash. I just think about it.
But see, you're living my nightmares because my nightmares are getting bit by spiders in my sleep.
Oh, it's not so bad.
So look.
You're here to tell me that you can triumph.
Yeah.
Did you even look up on the internet what that specific pattern?
We all know that's not what you're supposed to do with any medical problem. You don't go online.
That's true.
You go to a dermatologist and he's like, yeah, it looks like you got bit by a spider. Unfortunately, your insurance doesn't kick in until you pay $9,000. But here's some antibiotics you maybe need or not need. Did you say it was worse the other day? Huh. It's getting better. I don't know why you came in. Well, you're an idiot. And what's that patch on your head? Now, that's interesting.
Now, there's cancer.
Now, that is not alopecia. I watched Lethal Weapon the other night. And man, that Mel Gibson had tons of alopecia patches like me. Just all over his head.
Really?
His hair is all wild. And
right.
What do you mean? Like just a bald patch?
Like, I have this one up here. That's weird.
I've never seen that. His perfect circle bald patch.
I've never seen that.
It's weird. And white hair, I've been putting Bosley Institute stuff on it. And it's just growing in a white tuft of hair. Isn't that weird?
Chris has a secret tiny monk patch.
Yes. Oh, yeah, because it's one day off at work, center. I knew about it the entire time. I just thought you knew about it. And then one day at work, I said something about it. And Chris was like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, you have a little quarter-sized, perfect circle bald spot. And he was
and I went to my hair cutter, and he was like, yeah, I've known about that forever.
You told me, too. I just thought you knew.
No, it's, yeah.
Well, it also doesn't make sense because you have the densest, you have the most hair of anybody.
I don't, it's still, I mean... It still falls out. It's just dense follicles in the tub. You know? It's just individually.
What's it supposed to fall out?
Perfect circle.
My hair never used to. I could pull on it, but now, yeah, I run my hands through. I run my hair through my fingers. It's
it's the better way. It's the better way.
Yeah. And now, yeah, I don't know what. But yeah, Mel Gibson.
Alopecia spots.
Yeah, all over. And he became a star.
That's not the end of the story.
Yeah, that's not the lesson you should learn from Mel Gibson.
You know what?
It's weird. In that movie, there's some improv lines, and he says something that an Asian guy is about to torture him, and he says, who's the chin or chan? I don't know what he...
Beaner.
Yeah, basically the Asian equivalent of that. Right. On a movie.
Yes. Well, back then...
And they kept it in. Yeah.
You see, back then, that was not a big deal at all.
There's also a scene where these little kids are playing. They go to check out some guy's house. It blows up. And then so they're interrogating these cute little kids. And they're describing the guy's tattoo. And then it's the same as Mel Gibson's. And so the story gets thicker. You eventually find out it's Gary Busey. But anyway, these kids, they're these cute little black kids. And then they're like, we heard the cops shoot black people. And he was like, looks over at the other cop. This is in Lethal Weapon.
Right.
He's like, oh, no. Okay, go play now. Like, it was like a weird moment in it. Yeah, you have to. I wanted to.
Was Danny Glover in the scene?
Yes, he was the one asking them questions.
Oh, and then the little kid said that to Danny Glover.
Yeah.
I haven't watched it forever.
That's actually meaningful.
Yeah, I haven't watched it since
I wanted
I was a little kid.
To grab a clip of it. Maybe I will. It's on Netflix.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. Because he acts awkward because he's next to a bunch of white dudes.
Yeah.
And he's like, let's not talk about that ever. Not for a few years at least.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, we'll be talking about it pretty soon.
Yeah.
Well?
I mean, not that we have to go into talk about that. I don't feel like I...
I watched a documentary on Netflix.
I'm sad. That's all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what else there is to say about that other... Like, what can we say as white people?
We can support.
Yeah.
We support. Should I tell the story about our text exchange?
Yes, please.
Mine and yours?
Yes.
Which one?
April and
I don't know what the story is.
There was a protest, a peaceful vigil that was at Pan Pacific Park yesterday. And April texts me and goes, hey, should we go to this? And it's a little flyer for, you know, like, it's a peaceful protest for the shootings and the stuff, whatever. And I said, this is going to sound so lame, but I have to podcast then. And she writes back, okay, that's cool. I'll tell all the black people. And I laughed hard. That's really true. Funny. Yeah. I'm sorry that basically the revolution has begun and that people are standing up for your rights, but I have to go podcast. Sorry.
No, I was just kidding. No, it was the perfect joke.
It was the perfect joke.
It's a perfect joke for our podcast, one of the whitest podcasts out there.
Baron Vaughn was our second guest.
Yeah, come on.
So that counts.
Yeah. Yes. That was in 1997.
Yeah, we have to have him back. Well, I got to go downtown and do a comedy concert.
Oh, yeah. How long? Are we way over?
Yeah, yes.
Aaron's like, get me out of here.
Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, April. Sure. Sorry I was late. I'm a terrible driver.
It's okay.
Not the best person.
I think it worked out. This was a fun thematic show.
Yeah. Hey, my favorite, just don't do it with your friends. Do it with strangers. And don't do it with frozen bagels, but it's always great when someone calls your landline, if you still have one, and you just pick up and go, karate school! That's what David Huntsberger... We had a landline because it came with our internet. So whenever it rang, it's like, oh boy! And he'd run over and go, karate school! Karate. And they're like,
every time? He didn't change it up?
No, it was always karate school. Oh, okay. That was the best one.
It's so good because you don't have to name a karate school. No. There's just the one in your town.
Karate school! It's great. I guess I have the wrong number.
That's a good one. Wait, can we plug business class for this coming month? Sadly, Chris Fairbanks will not be at the upcoming business class.
Day after tomorrow. Right now.
Wednesday, July 11th? Mm-hmm. No, 13th.
13th.
It's always the 13th.
Yeah, you're breaking your... You were going to be the one dude who's on every show.
Yeah. You're in demand. You gotta go out there.
You gotta stack that paper.
Gotta get out there.
Yeah, do it.
Hit the bricks.
Do it.
Toss some papers on some porches. Well, I have a paper out.
Oh, so Chris has to go do his papers. But if you want to, please come. This will be the Improv Lab, 10 p.m. Wednesday, July 13th.
Yes,
April Richardson, mm-hmm. Karen Kilgariff hosting business class. And some great comedy luminaries such as Blaine Kapach will be there.
Yes.
That's great.
One of the funniest comics ever.
Yes.
Chris Hardwick will be there.
Terrific.
Yes. Everybody knows him and everybody loves him.
Yes.
Jay Weingarten will be there
again. Ooh, I don't like him. I just kidding. Thought I'd throw one of those in. Fun.
To change it up.
Yep.
Ahmed Weinberg is going to be there.
Oh, I'm back in. I like him.
Jim Pope is going to be there.
Oh!
It's going to be so fun. It's a really good show.
Fun. Well, go to that. Thanks for going to this with your ears.
Yep. You came on down with your ears.
Yeah, and you get to leave with them, too.
Bye. You've
been listening to Do You Need a Ride? DYNAR!
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we wanna be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date. Terminal and gate. We wanna send you off in style. We wanna welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
With Karen and Chris.